Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the love, the kindness, the goodness that you've shown us in Christ Jesus. And we ask of you today, as we study the Word of God, that you would teach us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the letter to the Corinthians, second letter. And we want to hear today what your Spirit would say to us. Help us to know and understand the context of the letter written to the Corinthians, that we would understand and have the will of God for us in our day, that we could go forth with the same boldness, confidence, Lord, the same working of your Spirit through the Word of God, that we would be even more fruitful and abundant for you and your kingdom. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we continue to go through this, one of the things that God has given us through 2 Corinthians has been this prayerful application of being abundant church. Okay, and when I talk with us about this, don't forget the part when Paul showed up and he said he was abundant in suffering, fearful, right? This part of that, the abundance of suffering, but the abundance of joy. And so one of the things that we could lay hold of would be, I think as we apply this today, is that we could lay hold of God himself. So you may not even understand this, but as you study doctrines and you find out what practices and where these things come from, that there are a lot of things in church that might not actually be from God. There's a lot of practices, there's a lot of methods of trying to gather a crowd together for a purpose. And I offer up to us, God's ways are not our ways. Right? God's ways are higher than our ways. And so it's of utmost importance as we study this, from my perspective, that we would learn God, that you would know God, that you would know what he's like, so that you could walk in his ways. To me, we come to a chapter like this, and I think the church has been manipulated over giving, maybe more bad teaching and philosophies over giving and money than maybe another subject in all the Bible. But make no mistake about it. Jesus taught about the riches or the money of this world. Why? Because that's what people are into. And yet you're going to discover today, I believe, that there is something for us as a church in being abundant. Now, John was joking with me because after chapter 8 and then chapter 9, he's like, so if chapter 8 was double tithe Sunday, does that mean chapter 9 is double tithe Sunday? You know, you'll notice we don't even pass a plate. Why? Right? Because of the way that giving has been put upon the people of God by way of obligation. We're going to come to this today, and there's some really good things in here, and I don't want your money. And I'll offer this up. God doesn't want your money. This is a very important part. God wants you. Right? He wants you. His ways are not our ways. He gave all. And this part of this interaction. Now, the letter to the Corinthians had to do with what Paul established as a practice amongst the Gentile churches, that where he took the gospel, and as the believers came to faith in Christ, he published the needs of the saints back in Jerusalem who were suffering greatly. There was a famine and persecution. By the time you get to Acts chapter 8, the persecution that arose in Jerusalem scattered the believers. And if you study through the book of Acts, you find out that literally properties were being sold to meet the needs of people. That can only last so long. Now, we come to a study like this, and I'm going to phrase it in the context of Scripture, and so you can understand what God does with them, so that you can experience the same likeness of the grace of God in our lives, right? The grace of God in your life, as you purpose in your heart to live the way that God is. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, or unnecessary for me to write to you. Now, the word there isn't unnecessary, although it comes into English that way. And we don't even use this word superfluous, but yet at the same time, I had to look it up and like, oh, okay. This is abundant church. So In an interesting way, he already starts with, I've said this in chapter 8 about ministering to the saints. Everything that Paul said to them has already been said. Do you hear that? Everything of the instructions to meet the needs of other believers who are suffering and without food, without, again, we're not talking, you know, feeling bad. We're talking suffering because of lack of food, clothing, and shelter. See, the real needs. And as he describes this, he's already written to them, and now he's writing, again, beyond, if you will. Or he's writing abundantly. So as he's writing abundantly to them, let's take this context. When he says it's superfluous, right, the idea of it's over, right? There's a overflow of words for me to write to you. Now, there's a bit of instruction in here to the church when he says, I know your willingness. Again, the word there in Greek is established kind of like a ready mind. Now, this is good. And this is a very deliberate thing in the context. Again, as I have deliberately stirred all of you up, that God has set before us an open door to go out from our city and to reach out to three drivable there and back, or again, if you like Book of Acts context, our Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, we can get there in a day and back. See, these are the close cities that to go and preach Christ, to go and preach and teach, pray, and to bring salvation and to bring, again, I'm going to say it, an abundance of fruitful work. That's the idea. Now, when stirring this up, again, a ready mind. I know your willingness. See, and this is why I give us the context, is this is the Corinthian church. We've studied their problems. We've studied their sin. We've studied their lack of understanding of spiritual gifts. We've studied all this. And for you to come through now and think this church becomes fruitful. This is a very important understanding that it really doesn't matter what you were. Do you hear that? It really doesn't matter what you used to be when God comes into your life and, again, born of him by believing and receiving Jesus Christ, Spirit of God in you, and God begins to work in you. The Word of God, the instructions, and then the Spirit takes the Word, and you start to put that Word in your heart, and then you find out about the way God is. And I want you to leave here today with a very clear understanding of God's ways concerning his work. For the Corinthians, the work is clear, ministering to the saints, right? It is a table waiter word. It's where we get our English word deacon, okay? The ministering to the saints, it's meeting the needs. Again, not complicated. This is not, well, I'm not in the ministry, right? Because I don't pastor or whatever. It has nothing to do with that, if I can use broken English with you. Everything to do with the ready mind. Again, he even took their willingness and their ready mind, and he boasted to the other churches, okay? And he boasted to them of the Macedonians and described that region of the churches, they were ready a year ago. So this has been a work that has been sown, again, received, and a ready mind. Let's go do this. Now, in their context, that context is, let's give to meet the needs of the other believers who don't have food, clothing, and shelter. We're in Christ, right? Let's give what we have so that they are not without. They were ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. So it's good to be fervent in spirit. Again, you think of Romans 12, genuine church, zealous for the Lord, zealous in a good thing, zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day long. This zeal that has stirred up the majority, I think it's a good work. Somebody, right, if you understand this, this is the church in that, again, forwardness of their mind, the boasting. Now, I offer this up. This zeal, it's fervent. It has with it, if you talk to me, right, you should get from me that which I am zealous about. Just to exhort and encourage you, someone talks with you, what are you talking about? If you've been talking to me in the last 2-3 months, what at some point in the conversation I'm going to be talking with you, or the last few weeks, which one are you going to? And that's all I'm saying to you now. Which one of the three open doors that we're going to walk through and start a work this summer, which one are you going to? I don't even use words anymore. I don't explain it to you anymore. Because this is the zeal. And you need to understand, this work that began in them a year ago, and their zeal had stirred up the majority, all of the churches that Paul went to with this zeal, they would just say, are you giving to the saints? See, that zeal, hey, are you doing this? Now, it's quite one thing to come to the Scriptures in such a way not willing. You hear that? It's one thing quite to come unwilling, and you're reading this the first time, like, why would I live like that? This church is already zealous, and these words are, again, think of them, abundant words. So this is the context. It's only if you're in there with the zeal, ready, willing mind, I'm doing this, that this reaches you in the context of how he wrote to them. This is how it's to reach us. So I'm not really trying to get any of you here to start doing something that you aren't doing, as much as I'm trying to show you the context that you're already willing to do these things. Let's do this. And the word to them in verse 3 is that he sent the brethren to them. Paul says, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. See, the zeal should always come forth unto the performance of the work that God has given you to do. So if I build up all this excitement and say unto you, we're going to go and start churches, and we're going to start Bible studies, and we're going to go and preach, and we're going to pray, and we're going to get to this city, and we're going to go do that, and then the time comes and nobody goes. That's the context. Could you imagine Paul showing up there expecting, because they had that zeal, and they were going to take their what they had received of by the Lord, and they were going to give it for ministering to others, and they show up and they have nothing to give. See, this is why Paul then makes ready by sending the brethren ahead. And he describes it to them, lest some of the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared. You know how crazy that would be to prepare the work and then on the day, nobody shows up. See, to prepare the work of giving and then have nothing there. If some of the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, and then I like what he says there, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Why don't we pass a plate? You imagine the grudging obligation that you have made a pledge to give a certain amount for the building project that the church is going through, and I've pledged this amount, and every week you come with that check and you grit your teeth as you drop it into the offering plate. I always love Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Years ago he said if you've given to this church and you're upset that you gave, right, I'll give it back to you. And it's out of this chapter. Now, we're coming to this place, and I'm offering this up to us in a abundant church concept, right? Abundant. This church is going to be abundant in generosity, having prepared the work, having set aside the previous instruction, set aside a portion in the first of the week, gather it together, have it ready to go. When you already have it gathered up, right, and you have an intent ready to go, it's not going to be a grudging obligation. Likewise, same way. Nobody here has to serve the Lord. You hear that? You don't have to serve the Lord. You listen to this whole thing, and you're like, and the context of what we get to do versus what you have to do, I just approach, my whole thing is I love serving God. And he rescued me from all my backslidden ways. He came and found me, brought me back. I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. This life's a lot better than the other one I used to live. And likewise, in that zeal, and then that desire to let's go serve God. Let's understand the way he is. Let's get on to his ways. Let's walk in his ways. And then let's go do that together. And that's really how I'm handing this context off to us today. So in the preparation, preparing yourself, Luke 14, right? Prepare yourself in all humility, humble yourself in the sight of God, and there's three areas of preparation. Humility, okay? 14, prepare yourself to go out and invite others. Go out to the highways and the hedges. God's house should be filled. Now, you notice I'm not saying the church should increase in numbers. What am I saying? God's house should be filled. Where is God's house? Well, that's going to come down from heaven from God, the New Jerusalem, that house, that people saved, believers, God's house should be filled, and therefore our active part in going out to give what is needed. Now, a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Or serving from the overflow. Do you hear that one? Serving God from the overflow of your life. What He's poured into you, right? And there's an overflow now to give out. Now let's get on to what I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to teach us today. The way God is. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Natural concept. If you have a field and you want to have that field produce as much as possible, you calculate how much seed you need to put in the ground to get your maximum, right, yield. Ransom could tell you all about that. He says more farming examples, right? But this is what it is. You calculate, I mean, it's been studied. It's been, how deep do you plant it? What's the moisture? What's the temperature? Again, the idea of how long will it take this to germinate? That, again, the farmers know these things because of experience in putting seed in the ground year after year. Now, Paul's describing here with giving, and he's very clear. He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Generosity, liberal in giving, right? You do understand that the liberals in the political realm are not liberal in their giving. They're liberal in their taking. It's a misnomer. See, I believe that this truth is to be laid out to us. So find your way to Luke chapter 6. And it begins here today. Here's the pressing word that God gave to me in prayer. Again, praying and just reading my Bible. And really the pressing thought was, I'm not very much like God. I read through my Bible, and I'm not like God. Now, I'm not that way anymore. But that was the beginning work of this truth. And again, it pressed into this, where the Bible is one way describing what God is like, and I think and believe something else. Who's right? Well, I yielded the point, and I said to God, where I'm not like you, I trust that you're right, and I will follow what your word says. Now, seemingly, something minor, but it's actually a major. Luke 6:38. This verse pressed all the way through into an adjustment of where I was not like God before to hearing it, and then this one made it to my note cards in 2002, 3, and 4, where I'd write the verse on the note card, and then I'd memorize that verse. I'd take a stack of those verses with me, throw them in my shirt pocket with my pen protector. Never had a pen protector, right? Pocket protector for my pens, although I was an accountant with a pencil neck, right? You do need to understand, it was taking God's word, and God's word was changing. Now, I offer up to you today, this is about learning God's ways, and it begins here. Words of our Lord Jesus, Luke 6:38. We know the context when he says, judge not and you shall not be judged. When he taught that, he taught it more than once. Do you hear that? Jesus didn't just teach something once and then move on. Have you heard me give you the same teachings over and over on certain points? And you could say, I've heard that before. Good, listen closely. When Jesus repeats something, judge not and you shall not be judged, verse 37, condemn not and you shall not be condemned, forgive and you'll be forgiven. What did he just establish? That's the way he is. Has God forgiven? Right? Has God given? Has God given mercy instead of judgment? Right? Now you look at this thing and then you get on to 38. This is life-changing, if you let it be. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Those are all terms that everybody in the whole world understands, right? I'm going to buy a cup of flour from you, right? What do I want you to do? Well, I want you to heap it up, right? Because you're selling me flour. But when I'm like selling flour, what's the tendency of mankind? Well, I want to leave it just slightly under. And so therefore, even when you're baking, what do you do with a cup of flour? Well, it's got to be exactly accurate. You take a flat edge right off the top. But you understand there's certain ingredients that you do what? Especially if it's brown sugar. What do? You push that sugar into that. You want as much in a cup. You squish that down because you want it as sweet as possible. American Crystal brown sugar, right? There you go. See? Working with Ransel today. Right? See, when you understand this, these are terms. What measure? Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Can you believe that Jesus would actually then say what he says next? For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, 2 Corinthians 9. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Cheapskate, right? Giving away the worst hot dogs at our outreach events. I brought bad hot dogs to one of our meals for Wednesday night. I was in a hurry, grabbed the cheap dogs, didn't have a lot of money, cooked them up, brought them, and I ate one. I'm like, those are bad, right? And I know better, right? Should have taken the time, spent the money on the good. What do you mean, sowing sparingly? What do you, again, this is the measure. With the measure that you use. See, in our judgment, in our giving, and this is the way God is. Do you want to stand before him over the, you know, bountiful nature of how you are ready to give unto others? Ready and willing mind. Now, here's the context. Again, remember I told you up front, I don't want your money, and God doesn't want your money. He wants you, and he wants you to be like the way he is. And again, for us as a church to be abundant church, is God abundant in giving, right? Has God withheld from us? Is God generous? Is God bountiful? Now, find your way over to Hosea 10. That's Old Testament. Now, while you're turning to Hosea 10, we're going to need verse 12, and then I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians 9. This will be like you on Facebook while you're watching TV and surfing the internet and carrying on a conversation with your spouse at home. Okay? So you guys multitask all the time. You're turning to Hosea 10, and I'm reading to you 2 Corinthians 9. Right? Verse 7, so let each one of you, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, let everyone give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Do you know that some Christians will only give if there's a perceived need? Do you hear that? Do you know that God is always on and forward in giving? What's he giving to you? He's always giving his word. Do you know that God never shuts off the flow of his word? Just like we would say, God always gives rain on the earth. What did Jesus teach? God, who is just, causes the rain to fall upon all of mankind, whether they be just or unjust. Likewise, now, again, you're starting to hear this. The same measure that you use. So what's Paul teaching? Let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, don't constrain yourself to money, 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 money. Right? Okay. I'm just going to say it, right? So now, now we're done with that. Don't constrain yourself to that. Now, the church is giving to meet the needs. That's not our context. what we're going out with, we're not taking money to go give to people. What are we doing? We're going to take out the gospel. What's the greatest need that people have? They need Jesus Christ. Because poor or rich, right, think about it, they're both alike. God is the maker of them all. They're both alike, that each one of them is going to stand before God and give an account for their life. But my thought to this, as we follow this instruction, as each one purposes in his heart. So if God is giving, and you're finding this out the way he is, and then God loves a cheerful giver, agape, agapao, God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because that's the way God is. See, most people don't know and understand the way God is, and so then therefore when Jesus Christ comes and fills up your life, and then what you're really working out is, God and I are not very much alike. And then you find out that God is very giving and God is cheerful in his giving. God, in fact, God is in heaven just waiting for his children to ask for the things that they need because he's ready to give them even before you ask. And so ask what you need. And this is the way God is. He's a cheerful giver. He gave us Jesus, right? He gives us his Holy Spirit. Again, you know, you start to practice this. He gives us what we need. Do you remember that part of the prayer that Jesus said, pray this way and in this manner pray? Right? Give us this day our daily bread because we have need of food. Now, why I offer this up this way, and again, it makes a lot of sense to me and hopefully it reaches you, is I want to find out what God is like. So God loves a cheerful giver and he does not give to you out of grudging, right, necessity. So to treat God like you have to beg him to get a piece of bread would totally misrepresent the way he really is. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, verse 8, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, verse 8, again, I'm going to lay it out for you. You give, and you give what you have in a cheerful way unto the Lord and put it in his hands to accomplish that which it is sent for. In this case, context of 2 Corinthians 9, they're giving of their financial to be sent so that money can be taken and brought food and to purchase, probably at expensive prices for those in need in Jerusalem. And it's going to accomplish the purpose for which it's sent. And that's the whole idea, that as they give that generous gift, what's Paul teaching? God is able to make grace abound to you. So you may give in one way and then find out the grace of God comes back to you. You might give, you're looking at your bank account and maybe it is money and the Lord's saying, give this away. You give that away and like, well, I was going to buy this and what about this? And then you find out, you get a phone call and God says, well, someone calls you up and says, well, do you have need of? And the very thing that you would have bought, all of a sudden grace of God comes and he provides that. Or you find out you didn't need it after all. It's just a want. Now, only offering this up in this context, you can't outgive God. That's verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So what he has given you and how you measure that and you want to be bountiful in it, well, what has he given you? Well, he's given us his gospel. He's given us life. Remember, I told you, this is not primarily in our context about money at all. At all. What we're taking to meet the needs of the people we're going to encounter, we're going to give them love. We're going to give them the love of the truth. We're going to give them an invitation to receive Jesus. We're going to give them what God has given us. Our desire is to take seed and sow it, water seed, and bring that increase, that God brings the increase. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, always having sufficiency in all things. Now, here's how we hear sufficient in the culture. Oh, I barely made it by. It's rough. I barely made it. Sufficient does not mean barely made it. Sufficient means sufficient to supply all of the need. Sufficient means, well, in fact, most Americans operate far above this level of sufficient. Now, when you ask a rich person how much more money they need, what do they always answer? Just a little more. It's true. But in this grace to give and then grace abound, now look at Abundant Church. Here again, I'm picking these words out. Verse 8, God is able to make grace abound toward you. Now, I simply offer this up. If you don't give anything and your measure is such, well, I don't really give. I don't give my time. I don't serve. I don't give money. I don't give. Don't expect that the grace is going to abound toward you. Right? That's what this is. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And you get on to being a hilarious. Again, the word there. The way my pastor teaches it in the grammar, says you give and be cheerful about it. That's really the context. Now, abundant grace abounds, always sufficient in all things, and may have an abundance for every good work. So you're thinking, if I give this time, right, if I serve in that ministry, if I give to support this ministry over here, and you start to go through this list, and then the measure that you use, and then you start to, again, you're battling generosity versus grudging, or you made a commitment and now you have an obligation. And now comes the scripture, God is able, right? You can give it all away and there still would be an abundance for every good work. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, as it is written, he dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. So chapter verse 9:9, 2 Corinthians 9:9 is quoting Psalm 112. That's Psalm 112 verse 9. You can get the context. It is about giving to the poor. So what's Paul fetch? He fetches a verse again to understand what he's thinking about, because they're giving to meet the needs of their poor brothers and sisters. Context. Now, when you also then understand into verse 10, find your way to that Hosea 10:12 verse that I had you go to about 10 minutes ago. Okay, now your finger's there. Look at 10:12 with me. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Hear the context? Break up the fallow ground of your heart. See, this is a call to the children of Israel in Hosea's day that they have not been like God. They haven't been working on their hearts. They haven't been merciful. They haven't been full of compassion. They haven't been sowing righteousness. Now think of Jesus, who went about doing good. What did he do? Everywhere he went, he gave to the people. I don't think Jesus ever took up an offering. Do you hear that? So, three pastors were on a plane flight. Pastor Seth, Pastor Chick, and Pastor Mike Fernandez. We have flown together. Right? Planes has trouble, the engines go out, the plane's going down. And the stewardess gets on there. Are there any pastors on the plane? Right? Are there any pastors on the plane? And Pastor Chick says, oh, I'm a pastor. Right? So can you do something spiritual? And so he offers up a prayer, asking God to bring us safely to the landing, that no matter which way you land, you're home. Right? You've all heard Chick pray that prayer if you listen to him teach the Bible. Right? And then the stewardess says, well, any other pastors on the plane? Pastor Mike Fernandez and says, well, you do something spiritual. And Pastor Mike offers up prayer and the stewardess says, well, is there any other pastors? And Pastor Seth, right, says, I'm a pastor. Well, can you do something spiritual? Yeah, I'd like to take an offering. Figured I should make myself the object of the joke. Hey, listen, here's my heart. Right? Here's my heart. God has done such wonderful things in us as church. He has done a great working of His Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We believe when He said to be genuine church, and we worked on that genuine from Romans 12. And now we're on to Abundant Church. And He revived us last year, and He poured into us. And there's a love here. There's agape and phileo, right? We joined ourselves together in oneness. We're going to seek God together. We're going to serve God together. And He gave us a view years ago, and now it's time to go out and take this out to others. This is my heart. And when I describe this to you, this is not about taking up a collection of money to go start another church so we can have another campus where more numbers and more offerings. That, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't match the way God is like. Here's the way God is like, okay? The call in Hosea's day was to sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Find your way to Galatians chapter 6. And these verses are longstanding with me. Right? Galatians 6:6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. Do you hear that? If he sows to the flesh, of his flesh shall reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:9. Worth memorizing. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:10, I'm going to read it again to you. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Has the Holy Spirit poured out upon Calvary Chapel Fargo? I would say most definitely. If that reviving of God's Spirit to work in our lives, awakened, came to the light, put off sin, started serving God, giving, right? Giving of what? Giving ourselves. Do you realize giving worship? I don't think anybody has ever come here and said to you, you should give money. I don't think you've ever heard that. And why I offer this up, again, so you get their context, and now you see what, in that context. Now let's find out what God's like in 2 Corinthians 9:10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supplies and multiplies the seed you have sown and increases the fruit of your righteousness. While you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Do you hear that? Now here's what God's like, Isaiah 55. Let's learn what God's like today. Remember I told you I used to not be very much like God? I don't know if you believe me. It's fun when I tell my kids like just how bad we were before we came to Christ. Like, really? Yeah, really. Not glorified, but I offer this up. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Does that sound like Hosea calling people back to seek God? What are we going out to do? We're going to go out to a place before where they knew of God and should be fruitful, and the churches aren't fruitful. Why am I describing this? Because we're going to go back again, and we're going to water seeds that were there, and we're going to pray, and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to, again, water those seeds that are already there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It'll look like this. Come to Bible study with us. Let's pray. Do you know the Lord? Again, all these ways to get people to seek the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him and our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you hear that? Forgiveness of sin. Abundantly pardon. You can be sharing the gospel with a sinner and you can say what to them? God in Christ Jesus will forgive you and cleanse you, and there is remission of sin, abundantly pardoned. We think of something like that and say, that's not right, that's not fair. We immediately have an objection. You notice that the natural objection is actually onto this thing called forgiveness. If we understand forgiving, again, two words in one English word, but two words in the Greek, one of those forgiveness is to cancel the debt. But the other one, in abundantly pardoning, what does God do? He doesn't just cancel the debt. What does he do? He cancels the debt and says, now you're one of my children. And now here's your inheritance. He abundantly pardons. I don't know anybody in the world who's like that. Right? I don't know anyone who is like that. But this is why verse 8, Isaiah 55, 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So you should find, as you read the Bible, especially in this area of giving, you should find out what? God is more generous than I am. Right? He's more cheerful than I am. In fact, God is willing to go to the ends of the earth to give all that he might have children for an inheritance. He abundantly pardoned, and then in Christ Jesus, he gives riches for all of eternity. Now, I think we can see this if we are willing to have a willing mind. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My decision with Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I don't think right unless I'm thinking the way God thinks. My ways are not the way of righteousness unless I learn God's ways. And here are his ways. Verse 10, as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Do you hear in Isaiah 55:10, Paul's using that verse? Seed to the sower, right? Multiplying. What? How does God do this? He put that into creation, seed bearing, a seed's in the ground, along comes water. What's going to happen? How can you find in the wild, right? Some of you might not think asparagus is food, but you can harvest asparagus in any road ditch, probably in all of Minnesota. How to get there? Or berries. Like, how did those berries get there? You understand the water comes, and this is the way God is. So now, if you listen to this in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Here's what I know. If we go out and give the word of God, right? And this works everywhere. If you go give the word of God and you start talking with people about the Lord, and you talk about the Son of God, and you start to describe who he is, his death, his resurrection, and you start to share with others the word of God, what does God do? That word will water that which is already in their heart, because God made every person. Along comes that water of the gospel, and that which is in every person can water that seed. This is why you share the gospel with everybody. And you look at this, sharing the word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for in which I sent it. Now, back to 2 Corinthians 9, the context is giving, that they're going to take this gift and they're going to send it, and it's going to accomplish the purpose, and it's going to increase yet more and more unto the fruitfulness of God. Verse 11, causes thanksgiving through us to God. Verse 12, the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints. Okay, you hearing that part? So it meets the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Here's what I offer up to you, a chance to venture out in faith, be led by the Holy Spirit to take the word of God with you to people you haven't met yet but are being prayed for, that they would be saved and that they would have their eternal destiny changed, to experience the riches of Christ and to have the promises of inheritance, because we went with the word of God and shared the word with people. Preaching and teaching. Praying, preaching, right? Praying, teaching. I'm offering up to us, what is the need of the people we're going to? They need salvation. We're not looking to get people to just shift from church to church. You know how, in a twisted way, how covetousness that really is? But if you're seeking to save that which was lost, that's the way Jesus is. What did God do? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, sent him into the world to seek and save that which is lost, and then that life of Christ in us, with the same plea to seek and save that which is lost, find people, and now it's a target-rich environment. Find people. Go out. What are we going out with? God's word. What are we giving? The gospel. See, the need, if you see the true need, Isaiah 55, 10, and 11, God's word. The earth needs rain. If it does not rain on the earth, what do you know in the natural realm? No food. And furthermore, no seed. Right? Because if you planted all the seed, nothing grew, you don't have any seed to put back in the ground to keep this going. Do you realize we're not going to do anything, right? Anything out of the ordinary truth of the way God is. If you take this gospel of Jesus Christ with you and you share it with others, what do you know will return back? Fruit to God. What if you sow the gospel sparingly? I told one person this year. What if you sow sparingly? Well, I don't know why they didn't get saved. Well, what did our Lord teach us? You sow the word of God. There's four types of hearts. Hard, shallow, right? Thorny, and good. Well, you probably didn't find the good heart. But if you sow bountifully, what are you doing? I'm going to go out and find, let's go find as many people as we can, and let's share the gospel with as many people as we can. Let's do that, and let's sow this word of God, and let's scatter it everywhere. Now, what returns, again, if you listen to it, the same measure that you use returns back to you. What do you get out of this? Well, here's what I want to get. Good and well done. Faithful servant. Right? Now, if you hear this today, could you imagine being in heaven with the report of how many people came to the Lord because maybe you gave to a ministry that faithfully scattered the word of God? Maybe you said, I'm going to give my money and I'm going to give it to someone who's on the mission field in this place and they're preaching Christ. And you find out how much increase that which you gave, and then you find out that God gave grace to you to give even more. See, we as a church, again, have been instructed by the Holy Spirit to do all this with these churches through the tithes that come in, and then we as a church would use that tithe to bring that out and faithfully minister that. I'm not even asking any of you to give one more cent. I'm asking you to say what? If you have a willing heart and a willing mind, I'm asking you to do what? Take the word. Right? How beautiful are the feet of those who do what? Go to the bank every Friday to cash their check? How beautiful are the feet of those who do what? Bring the gospel. See, the context for me is not money. And that's why I'm just offering this up to you. The need, right? The need that, again, I'll say it to you. The need, what's needed in North Dakota? The word of God. You have all these churches, but where's the word of God? Or where's the word in such a way that the people receive God's word into their heart? And as they're in church, they find out what God is like and they become more and more like God. If we do church and we don't become more like God, what are we really doing? Well, then we're doing some other way. And that's what I offer up from my heart to you today. Now let's wrap up 2 Corinthians 9. By their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. You know what I know about this? If we go and do this and we do exceeding abundant above what anybody would think a church of 70 adults would ever accomplish. Do you hear that? That God, it is nothing for God to save with many or with few. And that God would do something, I'm asking for him to do exceeding abundant, that when people find out, they would just offer up by the grace of God. There is no other way. Do you know what happens when you're funded well, have all of the philosophies and theories, and you have might, money, and you've got charismatic people, what do people expect? They expect a return. But what happens when you go out with God's ways and you offer this free of charge and you give freely and you have nothing by way of power, money, or any of that stuff to offer someone? You just say, we have Jesus Christ. We'll pray with you. You need to understand, God will hear your prayer. God will abundantly pardon your sin. God will give you eternal life. Now, why this way? Why this way? Because God's this way. Here's what I know. If we take God's word out and we scatter that upon the hearing of men and women and children, some will do what with that hearing? Oh, it will reach their heart and it will bring forth fruit. By their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. And then verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable. The word there in Greek is no words to speak about it. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, let's prepare the work. I gave you two of them, right? Humility. And then go and ask everybody that you meet, hey, would you like to come to the Bible study? Hey, have you received Jesus? Hey, do you need prayer? I'm not going to direct you what you have to say to each individual person. I want the Spirit of God to say what to you? Say this. Spirit of God, say, talk about this. And just work on that, going out to where people are. There's a middle wall of separation, if you haven't noticed this. Right? There's a middle wall of separation. God's in heaven, people are down here, separated from God. How are people brought to God? Through the ministry of reconciliation of the man, Christ Jesus. That's how you bring people together. So the humility, okay? And then willingness to do what? Go out and talk to everybody. We're going to do it together. I'm not asking you to, like, you go talk to everybody. I'm saying what? We're going to go out and we're going to go together. We're going to pray and we're going to go together. And we're going to go out and we're going to do that. What's the last preparation? Right? No, don't let me lose you now. Count the cost. What are you living for? Count the cost. You living for the kingdom of God? You living for the things of this world? Count the cost. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, you keep it for all eternity. If you don't lose your life, you have nothing to give when you go out and talk to somebody else. Because what will you always be talking about? You'll be talking about your life. But if you go and give, and God has been gracious to you, what wouldn't you give? If you were really faced with heaven and hell with the person that you love right across from you, what wouldn't you give if you could bring them to heaven? See, and this is the part where God wants us to be at. Why? Because we're not very merciful, and we're not very much full of compassion. Right? We live in a world that's hardened us, and the ground is fallow. That's why that Hosea verse. So we could sit and complain all day long about the world, and it's such hard ground. I hear pastors, and every one of them has the same story everywhere they share things. Well, the ground is really hard where I pastor. Where isn't the ground hard in this world? Where isn't it fallow? I offer up to us, God broke up our hardness all last year. God is pleading with us for mercy and compassion, and he's opened the door for us to go out and to share this gospel. Do I want your money? No. Does God want your money? No. Does God need your money? Right? What did he say to the children of Israel? Right? I don't need your sacrifices because I'm hungry. If I wanted something to eat, I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I would just go get something to eat. Now, what is God doing? See, this is what God is like. God has put it in the world that if you go out with the word of God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will be received in hearts and people will be saved. Expect to pray with someone this summer over and over to receive Jesus Christ. Expect that You might scatter the word to 35, 40 people, and then you'll find the one that says, I'll receive Christ. Expect to pray with someone this year to come to Christ. Because that's worth everything. So, Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for Isaiah 55, that you put it in this way, that your word goes forth from your mouth to accomplish the purpose for which you send it, and you have put good seed, right? You've given us your word, it's good seed, and you give us water to take and to water that good seed, but you're the one who brings the increase. Lord, we ask today that you would use this chapter to cause us to be abundantly fruitful in grace and sufficient in our needs, and yet abounding in thanksgiving to you from those that get saved. Lord, we're calling upon you for the power of the Holy Spirit. You've given us your good word, this indescribable gift. How do we really describe what you've done in Jesus Christ? We can explain, but it's your Spirit that takes that indescribable gift and makes it known to people. And we ask for your mighty working power of salvation, Lord, to go forth with us as you seek and save that which is lost. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.